He said, Lord, this is Tony Ablamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Judges, and this will be chapter 1. And I know that there are more than two or more of us gathered together here, and where you're at as well, I pray there is, whether it is or not. Then I ask the Lord to anoint this service and anything that's said on this tape. Father, we know you're here, and we thank you for it. We feel, I feel the anointing, your spirit, and I feel the anointing of your spirit all the time. Lord, anoint this tape, all the commentary, everything that's said, and your word to edify everyone. Open up every spiritual heart, soul, mind, and let them receive everything that they hear, that they're able to live one more day, one day at a time, in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of heaven, while we're here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's start reading from chapter 1, verse 1 in Judges.
Judah and Simeon conquered the land. King James Version, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?
Okay, so right there it says, after the death of Joshua. There's never really that much emphasis on it because he's been dead for quite a few hundred years. And we know that most people feel that they're going to live on forever, and they're right, but their bodies is going to die. And we paid a visit to the Hollywood Cemetery the other day here in Hollywood, California. The name of that is again?
Forever
Hollywood Cemetery. And we went there because some of the most famous people in the world are buried there in other cemeteries around the country and all over the world. And while we were there, we went to the gift shop and got a list of a lot of the different celebrities, people that you know, and people that I didn't even realize had died yet. But it's appointed unto every human being once to die just one time. And you're not coming back, it's something else. And after death, the judgment. And see, the reason we went to the cemetery was because my father, my dad, was the dance coach for Rudolph Valentino, Mae Murray, Pola Negra, Gloria Swanson, and a lot of other big silent movie stars. My dad was the one and only ballet master, Russian ballet master in the world. There was another woman that was Ruth St. Denis, they called her name, but she was a cripple, and she couldn't teach. She couldn't stand up. She was crippled and could not walk or dance. And she taught dancing with her fingers, my dad told me. And they recruited my father to be the dance coach at Fox Studios. And Rudolph Valentino, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, is one of the motion pictures that Rudolph Valentino did and made him extremely famous. And my dad was the one that taught him the Argentine Valentino tango that Rudolph Valentino did in that movie. I have a scrapbook of my dad that has pictures of him with the same type of garb on that Rudolph Valentino wore in the movie. And I've seen my dad do that tango in one of his dance studios in Pasco, Washington. And I saw that he did it even better than Anthony Dexter did in the motion picture called Valentino. But either way, when we were there, we went into the gift shop and got a list of all these different people that are buried there. And then there's also a list tells of a lot of other very famous people in this day and age that died there and recently died as well. And these people, you know, thought that they were, people worshipped them as though they were gods. And yet here we are standing right next to their caskets or their tombs. People like Rudolph Valentino, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Tyrone Power. But we have a list of some of these people. When we talk about it. And Joshua died, you know, and went on with the song, so on. And Moses died, and people don't pay any attention. But the Lord told me to have Sharon read this list of people that are dying like flies around you, to make it known to you, to make it more vivid to you, that the people that are around you in the churches and on the streets, and your friends and family and relatives, you're going to be dropping dead like flies one of these days. And that's why it's so urgent for everyone to serve the Lord now. Let's read some of these. That's it. That first verse gets me, you know. And Joshua died, and you don't even really pay that much attention to it. But the Lord thought that you'd pay more attention to if it was some of these people. So start reading some of them, Sharon.
Glamour Girls. Joan Crawford.
Here's some of the glamour girls. Have you seen her in movies, Nate? Joan Crawford. Then what?
Betty Davis.
I never thought of her as a glamour girl, but go ahead.
Ava Gardner.
Ava Gardner. I had her pinned up in my locker when I was in the Navy, 16 years old. She was, to me, a glamour girl. Her and Liz Taylor. Then what?
Janet Gaynor.
Janet Gaynor was in the movie South Pacific. And that's just of recent, not many years ago, with Rosanna Brasi. She's dead and laying in the cemetery. Then what?
Jean Harlow.
Jean Harlow, the platinum blonde. Then what?
Susan Hayward.
Susan Hayward was in Gilda, the movie. She's from Mexico, part Mexican, part Irish, red-headed beauty. She's now a pile of dust. Then what?
Rita Hayworth.
Rita Hayworth, the same way. Redhead. And then what?
Margot Hemingway.
Then who?
Jane Mansfield.
Jane Mansfield. Married to Mickey Hargitay. Used to work for us at the American House Studios in silhouette figure form. She was riding one night in a vehicle with her manager. She left Mickey Hargitay to commit adultery with this manager of hers, and driving down the freeway, and they got into a wreck, and she got decapitated. Her head was rolling down the highway. And she's planted right over here in the same cemetery with Rudolph Valentino. Then what?
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe. Well, I'm sure everybody heard about her. She was legendary. But she's dead. And then what?
Rebels Without a Cause.
Here are some of the rebels without a cause.
Jim Backus.
Jim Backus was the one that played James Dean's dad in Rebel Without a Cause. I raced Jim, James Dean up the hill where the observatory was. I didn't know who it was. I had a Ford and he had a Porsche, and needless to say, he won the race. And we were just going like crazy. He was eating an apple and had on horn-rimmed glasses, and we got up to the top of the hill, and I didn't know it, but there was Warner Brother trucks up there. And I asked, who's shooting? Because I knew a lot of the guys that wanted. He said, it's a guy named James Dean. He's new. And I said, well, where is he? And he says, a little short guy. And I said, hey, that's the same guy just raced up the hill. And I went right up to him. I didn't know who he was. I just thought he didn't look like a movie star. But he sure was. I mean, he was a great actor. And okay, so reach Jim Backus, then who?
James Dean.
And James Dean himself, dead in an automobile wreck. Then who?
Salminio.
Salminio was stabbed to death out of the Sunset Strip, and while he was being stabbed, he kept saying, oh my God, I'm dead. And he certainly was dead. That was in the newspaper. He kept saying, oh my God. They caught the guy and they said, it was wonderful. He kept saying, oh my God, I'm dead. As I stabbed him, he was stabbed about, I forget how many times, between 30 and 100 and some times. Got the knife going into his body. But he was, and I had lived in the same apartment house with him. He was on one floor above me or below me, and Montgomery Clifton was in another floor above me or below me. This is all before I was sick. Then what?
Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood. I was on an airplane with her, and I saw a bunch of guys. I didn't know what they were. I said, who are you guys crowding around down there? She says, Natalie Wood. And I said, ah, I never cared much for her, but she was very good in West Side Story. She played the part of Maria, okay, the Puerto Rican girl. It's a terrific job. But she's dead now. Then what?
Famous brothers, Marx Brothers, Rapture.
You know, they were funny guys. They're not funny now. Then what?
Gummo, Groucho, Gummo, and Chico, and Harpo.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, Harry, and Jack. Five Stooges, Joe Zanita, Larry Fine, Mo Howard, Jerome Howard, Shemp Howard, Little Rascals, Scott Beckett, Scotty, Darla Wood, Darla Hood, Darla, June Sprigg, Miss Crabtree, Carl Switzer, Alfalfa, William Thomas, Buckwheat, Petey the Dog, George McFarland, Spanky.
See, Spanky, I knew him very well. I didn't know he was dead. I used to go over to his house. He tried to sell me his house up in the North Hollywood here, right off Barham Boulevard. Then what else?
The Rat Pack. Sammy Davis, Jr.
You've all heard of Sammy Davis. And who else?
Peter Lawford.
Who else?
Dean Martin,
you heard of him. He says, they all drop dead like flies. Then who?
Frank Sinatra,
The Voice. All of them dead. Okay, now, what about Joshua? Oh, he doesn't matter. See, the Lord knows that these people would mean more, that they are dead. Yes, they are. Very dead. Stone cold dead. Then what?
Forever etched in stone. Irma Bombeck. Truman Capote. Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, Capote was really on television all the time from San Francisco. Had his own railway car that he used to travel in. And quite a character. Then what else?
Dorothy Kilgallen. Margaret Mitchell.
Yeah, Dorothy Kilgallen. She was on I've Got a Secret. Okay, who else?
Margaret Mitchell.
Her husband was a politician. Then what?
Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
You ever heard of President Kennedy? That's his wife. And he's incidentally dead also and laying in the ground. Then what?
Jackson Pollock.
Keep going.
Andy Warhol. Then 1950s posthumous pilot, I Love Lucy. Desi Arnaz, Ricky Ricardo. Lucille Ball, Lucy Ricardo. William Frawley, Fred Mertz. Vivian Vance, Ethel Mertz. The Honeymooners, Jackie Gleason, Ralph Cramden.
Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is. Okay, everybody's heard that. Then what?
Audrey Meadows, Alice. Bewitched, Marion Lorne, Aunt Clara. Paul Lind, Uncle Arthur. Agnes Moorhead and Dora, Dick York, Darren number one, Elizabeth Montgomery, Sam.
Elizabeth Montgomery's dead? Wasn't she the one that was in Wow. God, I didn't know she was dead. Okay, then what?
Dick Sargent, Darren number two, David White, Larry Tate, Alice Pierce, Gladys Kravitz number one, Sandra Gould, Gladys Kravitz number two, George Tobias, Abner Kravitz, Maurice Evans, Sam's father Maurice, Bonanza, Dan Blocker, Hoss.
And he was the one that played Hoss, and then on the Bonanza. Then what?
Lauren Green, Hoss.
Lauren Green played the father on Bonanza. That whole series is shot. They don't have Hoss, and they don't have Pa. And then who else?
Michael Landon,
Little Joe. Don't have any him anymore. They're all dead. Then what?
Green Acres, Pat Buttram, Eva Gabor.
Eva Gabor? I mean, she was so funny. That's Zsa Zsa Gabor's sister. Then what?
Also on the tube in the 50s and 60s, Fred Allen, The Fred Allen Show, Bob Crane, Hogan's Heroes, George Reeves, Superman, Phil Silvers, Sergeant Bilko, 70s TV and beyond, Nicholas Colasanto, Coach Cheers, Bert Convy, game show host for Tattletales and Passwords, Selma Diamond, Bayless, Night Court, Freddie Prinze, Chico and the Man, TV Dad, Robert Reed, Danny Thomas, Robert Young.
Danny Thomas, he's the one that founded the big hospital, Children's Hospital, St. Jude's Hospital out in Memphis. He had the big beak and always joked about his nose. Then what?
The Waxed and the Rested, Albert Umbeto, Anastasia, Humphrey Bogart,
Humphrey Bogart, big bogey, is dead. Then what?
James Cagney,
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. He played in that movie. He played in a lot of gangster movies. Then what?
Al Capone,
the big gangster, he's dead. Go ahead.
Sam Giancana,
the one that financed Kennedy, and Kennedy's double-crossed him. Okay, he was friend with Frank Sinatra in the movie, remember? Okay, then what else?
Meyer Lansky,
a Jewish boy that was said to control the mafia. Go ahead.
Charles Lucky Luciano.
Lucky Luciano, the godfather. Then what?
Lee Harvey Oswald.
The one that got blamed for killing Kennedy, and it wasn't his fault at all. Then Jack Ruby, the one that killed Lee Harvey Oswald. He's dead, too. Then what?
Benjamin Bugsy Siegel.
Bugsy Siegel, the one that started Las Vegas. Then what else?
Last round of Gene Autry.
Jody Cowboy. Then what?
Montgomery Clift,
From Here to Eternity with Liz Taylor. And, that was Burt Lancaster. And Montgomery Clift was in that motion picture with Liz Taylor. Which one was that? Oh, just he'd been in probably 50 films. Okay, well-known actor. Dead.
Chuck Connors,
like big tall guy, strong as a ox. Dead. Keep going.
Alan Ladd,
Shane. Right. Okay, what else?
Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and Trigger.
Didn't know that Dale Evans died, but they're dead. And the horse Trigger. Oh, they've got him enlisted there, too. Okay, then what?
John Wayne.
The big John Wayne. Everybody knows him. Then who else?
Dynamic duo, Lou Costello, Bud Abbott. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
They buried the little dummy, Charlie McCarthy. Okay, then what?
George Burns and Gracie Allen. Clark Gable
from my hometown, Helena, Montana. And same with Gary Cooper, they're both dead. Then what?
Carol Lombard
was married to Clark Gable.
J. Edgar Hoover,
the head of the FBI. They all have to die. Then what?
Clyde Tolson, Jack Lemmon, Walter Matthau, Song, Dance, and Comedy, Charles Boyer.
Then what else?
Bing Crosby.
No, he couldn't be Bing. Okay, then what else? Al Jolson's dead, too. They die like flies, don't they? They don't live too long. You hear? They fall like a vapor, a blade of grass, or a shadow. But you're going to die, too. Then what else?
Last, John Belushi, Lenny Bruce, John Candy, Chris Farley, Sam Kinison, the great showman, Charles Atlas,
the world's most perfectly developed man. I guarantee you he's not worth $1.97 anymore, okay? His heap of ashes isn't any more perfectly developed than probably that little Edward G. Robinson, right? Okay, then what else?
Harry Houdini,
the great magician. He's gone. What else?
Ernie Kovac.
Houdini's really was not an Italian. That's a fictitious name he made up. His real name is Schwartz. He's Jewish. Then what else? Well, after Houdini?
Ernie Kovacs,
yeah, big time. Then what?
Liberace,
the homosexual. He had to die. Yep, he's gone. Then what, the great showman. What else?
B.J. Cobb,
on the waterfront with Marlon Brando. Then what else?
Peter Finch.
Keep going.
Bela Lugosi
in those monster movies. Keep going.
Dick Morrow.
Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. They were big together. Many movies. It's in the, just so many movies. What else?
Classics. John Barrymore. Douglas Fairbanks Sr. Douglas Fairbanks Jr. Errol Flynn. Mary Pickford.
Good one.
Tyrone Power. Virginia Raff, Lillian Russell, Rudolph Valentino, and a 1 and a 2, Louis Armstrong, Leonard Bernstein, John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Tommy Dorsey, Benny Goodman, Gene Krupa.
All these big band leaders, they're gone forever. And what? They're not coming back. And what else?
Buddy Rich.
Buddy Rich, the drummer. It caused Sinatra so much trouble. And what else?
Mel Torme.
Mel Torme, the Velvet Fog. I didn't know that he was dead. Keep going.
Rock and Roll 50, Carl Perkins.
Carl Perkins, he's the one that came up with that weird beat behind Johnny Cash. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, go ahead. What
Elvis
else?
Presley.
Elvis is dead, and a heap of ashes. And what?
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly. Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue. I love you, old Peggy Sue. He's gone. Okay, what else?
J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper. Richie Valens.
Yeah, they all died in plane crash, didn't they?
16, Sonny Bono.
Sonny, my friend. And business partner and confidant. Everybody is, very friend. It's gone, gone, gone. Then what else?
Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys. 70s and 80s. Karen Carpenter of the Carpenters. Andy Gibb.
Andy Gibb called me on the phone, wanted some clothes for me. I'll tell you, these guys were big, big, big people, and they're dead. They're all dead in the cemeteries. You may have big thoughts of them in your mind, but God wants you to know they're dead, and you're going to die, too. Then what?
Carrie Ellen Capp of Chicago. Songbird, Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday, one of my very favorite singers, if not my favorite female singer. Then what else?
Mary Wells.
Mary Wells, with the Motown camera. And what else?
Song Dude, Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole, one of my very, very favorite singers of all time. And many other people's favorite. And then what else?
Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke, friend of mine, got shot one night. I was pretty close to him here in South Los Angeles. Then what?
Harry Chapin, Jim Croce, country and western, Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline, the greatest country western singing female in the world. Then what? Dottie West, a friend of mine. She's done several commercials for me. And I have the commercials at home, and you people have seen them, man.
Yeah.
And she wanted to, I think she appeared at the Alamo restaurant, and she had some of her things that she didn't want any longer on consignment at the store that I had at Nashville, the Alamo of Nashville. Then what?
Tammy Wynette.
Tammy, another good friend of mine, and she appeared at our restaurant. And, was over at her house many times. Okay, and who else?
Directors John Cassavetes, Cecil B. DeMille.
We saw his grave next to his wife at Hollywood Cemetery. Forever Hollywood Cemetery.
John Huston.
His wife. I had been over to their house so many times. It's unbelievable at the John Huston house. Over in Pacific Palisades. Then what?
David O. Selznick.
So one of the big producers of the greatest motion pictures. Then what?
Daryl F. Zanuck.
Same thing with him. And just think of that. We don't have time to go through the thousands and thousands of other people that have dropped dead. And then we just were in the cemetery and we saw people there that had just dropped dead last month. And they were younger than me. They were like 61 years old, the same age as Sanford. 61 years old. All right, so let's really keep it in our mind that we could die anytime, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have an appointment with death. We're going to meet death for lunch or breakfast, lunch or dinner, or din-din, or perhaps an appointment in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. You'll be sleeping very soundly and all of a sudden you feel yourself not breathing. Your eyes will bug out. They'll pop open. You say, oh my God, what is this? And then all of a sudden you'll feel your life lifting up and going somewhere. And you'll try to get into a feeble ball to hold that spirit inside of you, and you won't be able to keep it in there. There's no human effort that you can put forth that will cause that spirit of yours to stop from departing from your miserable body. That body is so miserable, it's only worth $1.97, and it's going to, and you're going to know when you're leaving that that body is worthless, that it's going to turn into a pile of dust. And pretty soon you're going to be wondering, well, what is my spirit going to have to be reckoning with? And then you'll be pulled up before the judgment bar of God, and then you'll be placed where you're going to spend eternity, your long home. And the Lord wanted everyone, all of you listening to this tape, to think about this, you know, to meditate on that. Also, while you're busy dispersing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ somewhere. Because what you do in this world, that is to dispense His word, is going to go in your favor at Judgment Day, and you're going to be very happy if you did a good job. But you're going to be very miserable and sorry if you didn't. So, anyway, let's get started now with verse 2 of the first chapter of Judges. Well, let's read verse 1 again, and maybe you'll pay more attention when it says Joshua died. Joshua is far more important than all these people then whose names we just read. Joshua led Israel by the direction from the Lord for a lot of years, and was faithful to God, and his soul is in heaven. And where are these souls, the names of these people that we just read? Where are they now? Well, you know, eternity, they know, and God knows where they're at. And when we get to eternity, if they're not there, we'll never even remember their names, because they're, if they didn't make it into heaven, they were like chaff. They're not important enough. Their names will never be remembered or named in the kingdom of heaven, because you're over with when go to hell, and there'll be no sorrow, so you won't remember any loved one. But even the name of them, you won't remember them, because God takes them all bad memories away. And wipes all the tears out of your eyes when you're in heaven. There's no bad memories there whatsoever. And you'll never remember the name. We're reading a little few words of Valentino's book where he thought that people were prudes for trying to stop promiscuity going on earth. And God took his life really young. What was he, in his 20s? Or early 30s when he died. And all these people died young because he wanted people to live a riotous life as he led. But look at him, he's dead a long time now. God, way back in the 1920s. All right, so let's read that verse again and see if we can't pay more respect to the death of Jesus and the death of Joshua, Yeshua, both. Go ahead.
Now, after the death of Joshua.
After the death of Joshua. Don't worry about him. He flew up into heaven. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But these people, it's doubtful that they made it. But hopefully they did in the last moments of their lives. But I tell you, I wouldn't want to bank on it. Then what else?
Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first, to fight against them? Verse 2, And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Verse 3, And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. verse 4. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. Verse 5. And they found Adonai-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites.
They slew them. They slew 5,000. They slew all these other people. They're all dead. Been dead all these years. Then what?
Verse 6. But Adonai-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes.
My, my. Okay.
Verse 7.
And what else? Yeah.
And Adonai-Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died.
Yeah, I mean, he sowed certain things, so now he's reaping exactly what happened, what he did. Then what else?
Verse 8. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it, and smitten it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. Verse 9. And afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain, and in the south, and in the valley. Verse 10. And Judah went again against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai. Verse 11. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. Verse 12. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer, and taketh it, to him will I give Ophsah my daughter to wife. Verse 13. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Ophsah his daughter to wife. Verse 14. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? Verse 15. And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Verse 16. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah, into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. Translation, verse 1 through 16. Judah and Simeon conquer the land. After Joshua died, the Israelites asked the Lord, quote, which tribe should attack the Canaanites first, unquote, verse 2. The Lord answered, Judah, for I have given them victory over the land, unquote. Verse 3. The leaders of Judah said to their relatives from the tribes of Simeon, quote, Join with us to fight against the Canaanites living in the territory allotted to us. Then we will help you conquer your territory, unquote. So the men of Simeon went with Judah. Verse 4. When the men of Judah attacked, the Lord gave them victory over the Canaanites, Perizzites, and killed 10,000 enemy warriors at the town of Bezek.
10,000 died. They were dead, and they all turned into heaps of ashes. Then what?
Verse 5. While at Bezek, they encountered King Adonai-Bezek and fought against him, and the Canaanites and Perizzites were defeated. Verse 6. Adonai-Bezek escaped, but the Israelites soon captured him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. Verse 7.
Those Israelites are pretty bad. You know, they're considered the number one fighters in the world. No one can fight better than they can. They can go in with just a few men. I've never heard of a war faster than the one that they won. Was it, what, 6 days? 6 day war over Russia, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, all the Arabs.
All the Arabs, and they blew an American ship right out of the ocean, and the Russians are scared to death of them. All right? And they are used in many countries to train different other countries that are favorable to Israel how to fight. The best fighters in the world. Then what else?
Verse 7. Adonai-Bezek said, quote, I once had 70 kings with thumbs and big toes cut off, eating scraps from under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them, unquote. They took him to Jerusalem, and he died there. Verse 8, the men of Judah attacked Jerusalem and captured it, killing all its people and setting the city on fire.
They all died, turned into heaps of ashes. Then what?
Verse 9, then they turned south to fight the Canaanites living in the hill country, the Negev, and the western foothills.
That's why the Lord wants us to die here. He doesn't want us to live satanic lives here in this world or worldly lives. He wants us to keep our eyes in our head and keep our mind thinking, not be saying, I didn't know that I was doing something wrong. We are called to be aware of what we're doing because we're going to be judged for everything we do. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Because you're going to die. Let's say, they all thought, well, we'll be back. We'll be here while Jesus comes back. The Apostle Paul thought, too. He says that some of us will be here and we'll be taken up in the twinkling of an eye. Well, a lot of people feel that he was thinking that the Lord was going to come back then. And so a lot of people think that he may come back any second now. And you'll be just taken right out of this world without having to die first and be planted in a mausoleum or in the ground. But a lot of you are mistaken. You're going to die. Then what else?
Verse 10. Judah marched against the Canaanites in Hebron, bracket formerly called Kirjath Arba, and bracket, defeating the forces of Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. Verse 7. From there they marched against the people living in the town of Debir, bracket formerly called Kirjath Sefer, and bracket. Verse 12. Then Caleb said, quote, I will give my daughter Achsa in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kirjath Sefer, unquote. Verse 13. Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it, so Achsa became Othniel's wife. Verse 14. When Achsa married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for an additional field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, quote, what is it? What can I do for you? Unquote. Verse 15. She said, quote, give me a further blessing. You have been kind enough to give me land in the Negev. Please give me springs as well. Unquote. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. Verse 16. When the tribe of Judah left Jericho, the Kenites, who were descendants of Moses' father-in-law, traveled with them into the wilderness of Judah. They settled among the people there near the town of Arad in the Negev. King James Version, verse 17. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Verse 18. And Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ashkelon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. Verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Verse 20.
What difference does it make if they had chariots of iron? If they would have had faith, God can destroy the chariots of iron just like he did when the chariots of iron of Pharaoh's army were chasing them. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All the wheels came off. Okay, then what?
Verse 20, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Verse 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day.
And there are thorns in their sides to this day also. You just see all the things that are happening over there to them. Then,
verse 22, and the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Verse 23, and the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz, or he cried to Bethel. Verse 24, and the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. Verse 25, and when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. Verse 26, and the man went into the land of the Hittites, and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Translation, verse 17 through 26. Then Judah joined with Simeon to fight against the Canaanites living in Zephath, and they completely destroyed the town. So the town was named Horma. Verse 18. In addition, Judah captured the cities of Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron, along with the surrounding territories. Israel fails to conquer the land. Verse 19. The Lord was with the people of Judah, and they took possession of the hill country, but they failed to drive out the people living in the plain, because the people there had iron chariots. Verse 20. The city of Hebron was given to Caleb, as Moses had promised. And Caleb drove out the people living there, who were descendants of the three sons of Anak. Verse 21. The tribe of Benjamin, however, failed to drive out the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. So to this day the Jebusites live in Jerusalem among the people of Benjamin. Verse 22. The descendants of Joseph attacked the town of Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Verse 23. They sent spies to Bethel, formerly known as Luz.
So you notice that some tribes were faithful and some tribes were not. And God blessed the faithful ones and cursed the unfaithful ones. Then what?
Verse 24. They confronted a man coming out of the city. They said to him, quote, "Show us the way into the city, and we will have mercy on you," unquote. Verse 25. So he showed them the way in, and they killed everyone in the city, except for this man and his family. Verse 26. Later the man moved to the land of the Hittites, where he built a city. He named the city Luz, and it is known by that name to this day. King James Version, verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Verse 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Verse 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Ahlab, nor of Achzib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. Verse 32. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Verse 33. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Bethanath became tributaries unto them. Verse 34. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Verse 35. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Hered, in Ajalon, and in Shealbim. Yet the hand of the Lord, of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. Verse 36. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upwards. Translation, verse 27 through 36. The tribe of Manasseh failed to drive out the people living in Beth Shan, at Taanach, Dor, Ibleam, Megiddo, and their surrounding villages, because the Canaanites were determined to stay in that region. Verse 28. When the Israelites grew stronger, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they did not drive them out of the land. Verse 29. The tribe of Ephraim also failed to drive out the Canaanites living in Gezer, and so the Canaanites continued to live there among them. Verse 30. The tribe of Zebulun also failed to drive out the Canaanites living in Kithron and Nahalal, who continued to live among them, but they forced them to work as slaves. Verse 31. The tribe of Asher also failed to drive out the residents of Akko, Sidon, Ahlab, Achzib, Helga, Apheth, and Rehob. Verse 32. In fact, because they did not drive them out, the Canaanites dominated the land where the people of Asher lived. Verse 33. The tribe of Naphtali also failed to drive out the residents of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath. Instead, the Canaanites dominated the land where they lived. Nevertheless, the people of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were sometimes forced to work as slaves for the people of Naphtali. Verse 34. As for the tribe of Dan, the Amorites forced them into the hill country and would not let them come down into the plain. Verse 35. The Amorites were determined to stay in Mount Heres, Ajalon, and Sheldon. But when the descendants of Joseph became stronger, they forced the Amorites to work as slaves. Verse 36. The boundary of the Amorites' land was from Scorpion Pass to Salah and continued upward from there.
All right, that was the first chapter of Judges and 36 verses, and we talked about a lot of the different people, not by any means the hundreds of millions of people that have dropped dead and are laying in the cemeteries now, but we covered quite a few of them, and enough of the ones that people are aware of. And now we've got some commentary here from chapter 1 in Judges.
1 verse 1. After the death of Joshua, there's a phrase that indicates the conclusion of the former period of conquest and beginning of a new period of time. Quote, ask the Lord, unquote, probably involves the priestly use of the Urim and Thummim. See note on Exodus 28 verse 30. Or a verbal form of divine guidance. 1 verse 2, quote, Judah shall go up, unquote. The selection of the tribe of Judah corresponds with the divine preeminence of Judah's and Jacob's patriarchal blessing. Genesis 49 verse 8. 1 verse 4, Bezek is Kirbeth Bizka, near Gezer, on the northeast of Shechem. 1 verse 6, cut off his thumbs and big toes. Similar practices were common in the ancient Near East. These kings would no longer be able to lead in battle. Without thumbs, they would have difficulty holding weapons, and without toes, they would lose their footing in battle. 1 verse 8, quote, Jerusalem, unquote. Although the city was taken at this time, the Israelites did not occupy it until David captured it about 1000 B.C., 2 Samuel 5 verse 6 through 9. According to Joshua 15 verse 63, Judah failed to clear out the Jebusites, though they initially took Jerusalem. 1 verse 10. Kirjath Arba, the former name of Hebron, meaning confederacy. Kirjath Arba means, quote, city of four, unquote. It has been identified with Arba, the father of the Anakites. Joshua 15 verse 13, who may have established it. According to Joshua 15 verse 14, these three men were sons of Anak, whom, quote, Caleb drove out, unquote. 1 verse 11 through 16. See Joshua 15 verse 15 through 19. 1 verse 13. Othniel, the first major judge. See 3 verse 7 through 11. A victory in battle was one way of providing payment for a bribe. 1 verse 16. The children of the Kenites were associated with the Amalekites and the Midianites. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was a priest of Midian. The city of Palms probably refers to Jericho, and it does, and its oasis. 1 verse 17. Hormah, which means devotion or destruction, was a new name given to Zephath, likely the valley region in southern Judah, mentioned in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 10. 1 verse 18, Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron, three of the main cities occupied by the Philistines, the others being Ashdod and Gath. 1 verse 19, Judah took possession of the hill country, but they could not drive out the people from the plain, because the enemies had iron chariots. but wooden vehicles with iron fittings. The real reason, however, was Israel's disobedience to God.
That's why they were not able to drive out the iron chariots, because they were disobedient to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
If you are obedient to the Lord, you can drive away the chariots, and you can drive away for a time the enemy of your soul, the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you're going to die, but you don't want to die paying any attention to the enemy of your soul, you just have to look ahead, look away from him. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And it was a covenant. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, verses 20 through 21. 1 verse 21. In light of this, Benjamin fought on the eastern hill which they bordered. Their success was no greater than Judah's. Joshua 15, verse 63. 1 verse 27 through 36. The conquest of Canaan was incomplete because the Israelites were disobedient and failed to carry out God's commandments. Exodus 34, verse 11 through 16. 1 verse 28. Put the Canaanites under tribute. The tribe of Manasseh put the Canaanites to forced labor. 1 verse 1. The book of Judges gives us an idea of the courage it takes to enter a new territory in life. Even though much of the promised land, see Genesis 15, verse 18 through 21.
Right, I'd like to comment here. It's like every day we're entering in a new territory in life, and it takes courage, human courage. It doesn't take that much courage if you have the Spirit of the Lord telling you what to do, when to go out and when to come in. It just takes walking in the Spirit, staying close to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then if you're getting your information fed to you from the Lord, well then, you have great boldness in doing whatever the Lord tells you to do. But if you're walking out without any prior speaking to the Lord, really, you don't know what could happen to you today. This might be the very day. The Lord knows the end at the same time as the beginning. This might be the day that you had an appointment with death. But if you stayed close to the Lord, there's two different roads you can go. One is your own way, and then the other one is the way of the Lord. If you go the way of the Lord, you could live a long, be a ripe old age, and have great success and be very prosperous. And the other way is that you could go, you're going to be very non-prosperous, and you will not have a long life at all. You will wind up dead many years before your time. I know there have been members in my family that decided that they wanted to drink their life away. And they died at the ages of, looks like, in their 40s and 50s, and some of them just never took good care of themselves or ate properly. The Lord knows if you'll follow His eating laws and drinking laws and so on, and if you'll keep His commandments. And people can, God knows in the beginning, it's already predetermined what you're going to make up your mind to do as a free moral agent. And so therefore, there's no excuse. You may not love living here to do, because your purpose, you don't have any real purpose because you haven't decided to do the will of the Lord. And so you don't really have any purpose in life, just to look at things and to do, go places and eat certain foods and see things that other people have seen. But there's no real purpose in life to accomplish anything for eternity. And so therefore life becomes extremely boring after you've seen it all. Because I've seen it all, and yet life is still extremely interesting to me and makes me want to stay around. because I want to see that it's exciting. It's a new adventure every day as to what the Lord is going to have me do. Just like this tape today, I had no idea that I never would have thought to have read all these names of motion picture stars and gangsters and people. And we could list a bunch of presidents that you've known that have been killed or died or are dead right now. But the Lord wanted me to do it, so that was exciting to me. And I'm sure that the tape meant something to you as well, because it's exactly what the Lord, the great physician, ordered for the day. Okay? Praise the Lord. So it's a new adventure to going to the promised land. And so nothing gets boring. It's a labor of love. I just love being the world's greatest evangelist. Okay? I love it. Because if I'm not the greatest, well, then saying this to try to provoke the others to jealousy, to where they'll get out and try and do something for the Lord as well, without the false doctrine with it. Now, Dan Hahn stated, he was our attorney, he's the one who changed the name of Saugus to Canyon Country. And he, in the Los Angeles Times, stated that Tony Alamo is the world's greatest evangelist. He was our attorney. And many other people said the same thing. So you may take what other people have said about me, but I'll stick with what Dan Hahn said and some of the other more favorable people regarding my position here on earth, and especially the Lord's choice. He elected me, and I'm very happy of it. Very happy that he elected me to be the world's greatest evangelist. All right, and so I do what the Lord says, so that that means the biggest is greatest, okay? Great's big, okay? Now, just because we were on television for 10 years, and that didn't make us great, because a lot of people never watch. Most of the people never watch Christian television. But they can't get away from us on the street. We've distributed hundreds and hundreds of millions of pieces of literature. And we've been on television for 10 years, and I've done interviews by the hundreds and hundreds on radio and television in major cities all over the world. It's gone, okay? And so, you know, we have a measure of fame. And yet, if I were to die today, it would be just the same thing. Antonio Lama died, and then, you know, hickory dickory dock, and who's the next? All right? You might be next, my friend. You might be next. So it's very good for you to be cautious about what you do today, because each day is a step further towards the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we have to be concerned about, is our direction. Don't get your direction mixed up. You have desires to go to Sweden, to Switzerland, to China, to Japan, to the Holy Land, or to go to even, you know, to Israel, or to go to Canada, or some town in the United States, or to see some wonder of the world. But that should not be your prime goal. Your goal is to get to the promised land, and we don't have many days to prepare for it. So the main thing that we need to do today is to begin to be led by the Spirit in preparation for our final home. Amen?
Yeah.
For our long home. Our long home is either heaven or, for God forbid, the lake of fire. Well, let's continue with the commentary, please.
Even though much of the promised land, see Genesis 5, verse 18 through 21, had already been taken under Joshua's leadership, it was still necessary to address the present reality of the enemies still living there. Only when the conquest was completed could the people of Israel focus on building new lives in their new land. In the same way, it is important that we conquer and control our dependencies on our flesh, our own will, the world, sin, Satan, before we try to build a new life.
And separate ourselves from the sinners. Witness to them, but don't get involved with them in any way, because they'll teach you they'll wind up being the thorn in your flesh, and they'll you'll wind up going their way, because some of these people are extremely convincing to live a riotous life, a life headed in a totally different direction than what we must go in order to get into the promised land, the only land of promise from God that we want. There's another land of promise. It's a pit, though, and we don't. God promises that if we don't stay on the straight path to heaven, the straight way, and Jesus is that way. The Word of God is that way. All right, then what?
1 verse 19 through 36. The last half of this chapter shows how incomplete Israel's conquest of the promised land was. God had promised to be with them and guide them in this difficult process as they displayed courage and faith in God. God indeed brought them numerous victories. But a lack of faith and perseverance, laziness, and faltering courage stopped God's people short of their goal. We must also learn from this. Be diligent, vigilant. We need to persevere and place our faith totally in God and do what He says if we desire to walk in the Spirit fully and enter into the kingdom of God.
Yes, because it's obvious that the flesh is just going to turn into dust. And so the only thing, part of us that matters is our spirit. Because our spirit is going to live on. You can go, you know, it was very difficult to see some of these people while they're alive, because they were so sheltered. Their managers, their bodyguards, and all these people are around them, and their drivers, their valets, and so on. But it's so easy to go down to where they are now, by their graves, and buy a flower put inside there. Today, you know, we have Whitney Houston, and what are some of the ones? Come over and mention their names. Celine Dion. Is that her name? Celine Dion, and all these people. They're the same. They are meaningful to you. A couple of the Beatles are dead and turned into ashes already, along with Elvis. And all these people are going to die, too. Maybe a lot sooner. And what's this other one that is such a reprobate? She's the blonde-haired one. Huh? You have Whitney Spears. She won't be around long. Amen? And so, you know, everybody has their gods and so on. But, you know, going their way is of no value whatsoever. Your Ronnie Millsaps and... they're all going to die. And they said, what a wonderful talent. And, oh, they're like a god or something. Even Steve Reeves is dead. He was played Hercules in the movies in Italy. Well, pay attention only to the spiritual realm. Because look at all their flesh is dead. And now ashes. Amen?
Amen.
Meditate on that today and live another day in the Spirit. And think about these things. It's better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of mirth. Amen?
Amen.
Because what good these funny men, Abbott and Costello, what has their mirth done for them? They got a few laughs in this world, but what does that do? Where are they? Where are their spirits? Bob Hope, dead, ashes. Got lots of laughs. But what does that do to get him to the promised land? Amen?
Yeah.
He's just, his flesh is already disintegrated. But where is his spirit? And where is your spirit going? Are you going with the Lord today to win souls, to distribute literature, to warn people about death, hell, the grave, to tell them of the kingdom of God? There's no alternative, real alternative to the kingdom of heaven. The lake of fire is no alternative. I mean, we can't go there. We can't. So live for the Lord. Live, protect your spirit. Be wise and live. This is Tony Alamo until chapter 2 of Judges. God bless you. Keep meditating on the Lord, thinking about Him all day. Until chapter 2 of Judges. Praise the Lord and God bless you.